Welcome to On the Box. We are the Geek Show's dedicated show to all things television related. I'm Andrew, and today I'm joined by Owen.
Yes, you are.
And I'm here too, but I'm the designated driver this week.
You're not allowed in on the phone.
No, I'm a producer. That's what we do. We just watch you two get ridiculously drunk and wish. Oh, I wish I was too.
Yeah, you're nameless. You're nameless in this.
But no, surely if you're a producer, you then get to go home and enjoy all the special party time powder.
Yeah, I suppose we do. Thank you for putting that into context.
Yes.
Now the best job in the world is the driver, the necessary driver.
That's a good segue to go on to our first piece of news.
Yes, because we have more Top Gear news. Some might say too much Top Gear news. I would, because, oh my God, we do so much Top Gear news. Anyway, we finally have all seven presenters, yeah. Which is kind of crazy.
Well, it's seven if you include the Stig. Without the Stig, it's about six.
Oh, yeah. But still, that's six people presenters. Yeah, well, that's double the old amount of presenters.
Some would say double the fun.
Well, if you go on the internet and look at any comment thread, which asks about the new Top Gear, they want everybody to burn in hell. So, no, I don't think it's going to be double the fun. Let's be fair.
True.
Let's run through them. So, we've already got Chris Evans and Matt LeBlanc.
Yep. We have Sabine Schmidt, who a lot of people had been wanting to come in as the proclaimed, the prophesied third presenter of Top Gear.
Well, she was the presenter on the German version, wasn't she?
Yes, she was.
With just a guy in a shirt who doesn't own a car and a former race driver, if I recall correctly.
That's right, yes. We also have Eddie Jordan, a Formula One team owner of Jordan GP.
That is a math, just former Formula One.
Yeah, I didn't quite get the words right. I'll try that again.
That's okay. You have been drinking a lot.
Yeah, I am Scottish and it's 3 o'clock.
Oh, that's not nice to say. Scottish people are sober too.
Well, yes, that's called being asleep, Rob.
I suppose you have a valid point. You make a valid point there.
We also have a YouTube star called Chris Harris, who I've never heard of.
Well, he can't be much of a star then, can he? Let's be fair.
No. And motoring journalist Rory Reed.
Don't know who that is either.
No.
I'm taking one of them's the bald guy and the other one's the black guy.
But the black guy's also bald.
Yeah, I'm being PC.
Yeah. I'm guessing one's the bald guy, the other one's the other bald guy.
And the Stig is also bald, technically.
Well, the thing here is, it's kind of good, though. Because there was the new story breaking now where Chris Evans can't actually do it.
Yeah, he can't drive and talk without throwing up or something.
Yeah. There's lots of footage has been leaked of that, so it's taken the pressure off him. Yeah. And a lot of people hate Chris Evans.
Yeah.
Not the movie Chris Evans, everybody loves him.
Oh, yeah. But not after Fantastic Four, but now they do.
Maybe not, but... Yeah, this Chris Evans, he's not the most beloved person, but there's a lot of unknowns outside of him.
Yeah.
And Matt LeBlanc, which I'm not quite sure it'll work.
Well, when he was on Top Gear, he did come across as a bit of a car nut and a car guy, so I think he will know what he's talking about.
But it's just he has had, like, no experience as a presenter.
Well, that's true.
I mean, a good shout possibly could have been, Jay Leno. I know that's a ridiculous claim out loud, but... He's got experience presenting, and he's a legit signed-up car nut.
Oh, he is one of the most well-known car nuts. But, well, considering they got Matt LeBlanc, I don't think it would have been as crazy a shout as you might think. I mean, I reckon it would have actually been quite legitimate. I mean, I think if they had Jay Leno on the American Top Gear, it would have done so much better.
The weirder ones, the YouTube star.
That seems really left field.
Yeah, I mean, the original casts... There was Hammond, he's from local radio.
Yeah.
I think he's done local radio even in this town.
James May, he edited, I think it was Auto Trader, got fired after putting some kind of message in one of his articles.
So,
and then Jeremy Clarkson.
Who was original. He's an original, a Top Gear original. But this is just a complete fresh slate. Whether it'll work remains to be seen, but. They're doing some new stuff that is challenging who should present this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just curious about how they're going to juggle that many presenters.
Well, they might have little bits that they do it in the gadget show where everybody has their own sort of section and their own bit. this might be the same where everybody has their own bit and their own section.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I assume. At least some of them are going to be for specific subjects.
Because, well, let's be fair, the original one was tat by the end. So I imagine it's going to be a bit of a reinvention.
Yeah, I assume maybe more going back to like actually a factual show instead of just a sitcom.
Kind of like what the original Top Gear used to be.
Yeah, but maybe kind of
less boring.
Halfway in between like madcap crazy Top Gear and just full on boring car show Top Gear.
It regains some things of why I don't understand keeping the stig, and this is like for brand recognition.
I think that's kind of as much as it is. I mean, obviously we'll have to do things like laps around the track and bring out the stig to kind of test cars or something, but it does seem like majorly brand recognition. Now the program looks so different, it keeps that norm so people can recognise it for what it is.
Let's be fair, though, it needed a change.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Even I'll agree on that.
How many short seasons was it going for? It was, what, like 14? 15?
I'm sure they've done at least 16.
Yeah.
That's a lot. I mean, the only long-running TV show from BBC, which is like seasoned BBC show, was Nevermind the Buzzcocks. I think that got, season 25.
I don't know, I mean...
And that lost pretty much everything, I think, when Mark Lamar left.
Yeah, that's true. Although, to be fair... So
they kept going for a while afterwards.
Have I Got News for You still going? That's been going for 20-plus years.
Yeah, but I feel like that's something you don't really need. That much of as long as there's still news, you can still have I Got News for You.
That's true.
It's an institution. I mean, yeah. Paul Merton is one of the quickest minds in comedy.
Oh, he is amazingly witty.
And
in his lap, he can be funny.
He's the editor of Private Eye, so he's a smart kind of funny.
He's more of a satirical comedy.
But we'll see what happens with Top Gear.
We'll definitely keep an eye on this one.
I would say I'm optimistic, but I literally couldn't care less. It's Top Gear, come on.
It's fair enough.
I've got a story that I am very excited about. There are plans for a new Star Trek TV series, and the showrunner is going to be Brian Fuller.
Yes.
A.k.a. Guy What Made Hannibal, a.k.a. show that I gush about constantly and have an unhealthy obsession with.
Well, it's okay. At least you admit it.
Yeah.
It's not like you have posters in your toilet and you just, you know, pray to him every night before going to sleep.
Yeah, it's not like he does that.
Or do you?
Yeah, it's not like...
Well, how am I going to have a successful bowel movement if Mads is not watching me do it? God, Rob, don't you know anything about how the body works?
I'm sorry.
We should also point out that Brian Fuller also wrote some episodes of the original... the old Star Trek series, like Deep Space Nine, Voyager.
Yeah, he's written episodes of Voyager and Deep Space Nine.
So, yeah, I'm glad about that because it's somebody who actually has a history in the series, so...
Well, you see, it doesn't really matter at this point because the people watching it, there's going to be a lot of new people. A lot of new people coming into this sort of stuff. A lot of the old guys watch it regardless, but there's not as many of them as there used to be, and they're all very picky. Because I really liked the last Star Trek series they did. Nobody
Enterprise.
Else did. And
that was brilliant. Was it, I thought it was really good.
I don't even know. I kind of lost track after...
The Scott Bakula one.
Yeah.
Is that
Star Trek Enterprise. That was really good.
Wasn't Enterprise the Patrick Stewart one?
Yeah, that's the confusing thing. It was called Enterprise, but the Enterprise was the ship from the Next Generation.
Oh, yeah, that was Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Enterprise was also the ship from the original series. Enterprise is kind of a continuing thing.
Okay.
I'm not even going to lie, my favourite Star Trek is just the original James T. Kirk, full-on cheesy Shatner Star Trek.
How can you say that? How can you say that?
Because it's so gloriously bad.
So we're being joined by Rob, anyway.
Hello.
Yes, he is here to agree that original Star Trek is best Star Trek.
Yes, so much so Scotty just beamed him down.
I'm a Next Generation guy. Hey, Patrick Stewart.
No.
Yeah.
Well, go on then.
No, I'm going to be contentious. I'm going to throw it in there. Voyager was the best.
Yes.
Was that?
No, it wasn't. That's just me being contrary like a cat.
That was Janeway, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it was the worst one.
See, Andrew knew I was going to do that. Indeed. He knew I was going down that route.
I still really enjoyed Voyager.
No, nobody enjoyed Voyager.
I just like Quark.
Whoa.
That's Deep Space Nine.
That's a
qualified statement, because I feel like everyone enjoyed 7 of 9.
Oh, yeah.
But kind of rest of Voyager...
Are we talking 7 of 9 when she was still... When she was...
Everybody enjoyed the
still Borg, or when she had the really tight suit on?
Like I said, everybody enjoys it.
When do you think, Rob?
Well, I don't know. There's some strange people out there.
Actually, yeah.
That's very true. It's all about
the boobs.
No. With those people, it's all about the naked wires and stuff like that.
Oh, them people.
Yeah.
Sexy heavy machinery.
Yes. Damn. You know, see them gyrating in front of a crane.
Oh, wow. But I would chat my statement.
That's one hell of a crane game.
Although this sort of perverted introduction that Rob's you've thrown at is a thing, and yeah. I'm all for that. It's got a corner of the internet, which I'll never go on. Thank you, Rob.
But very dangerous corner of the internet.
Do you reckon the time's right, though?
For
Star Trek to come back?
No.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Why is that then?
I reckon that for Star Trek to come back, then they need to have some separation from the movies.
I think that's what...
Well, I can understand that, but they've got the brand recognition. Like, yeah. The movies are out, let's do something.
They've got the brand
recognition,
but the thing is, I think that any TV series right now, I mean, it depends on whether when are they setting the TV series in comparison to the timeline of the current movies. And are they following the original series timeline, or are they following the movie timeline?
Oh, that's a good question.
There's a lot of questions to ask and answer before they even think of putting pen to paper with the story.
Yeah.
Because right now the timeline is all squiffy.
Yeah. Yes, it is. And I think something else that's probably even more important than you think about is, like, they might have an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. type situation where they can't use any of the good stuff because it's all tied to the movies.
Yeah,
that's the other concern.
Yeah, and they can't have any sort of recognisable names.
What if they can't use
the movies in the same timeline but before of the original series?
It's like a big reboot, isn't it?
Yeah, but they kind of alter the timeline so they could kind of do more with it, make it their own, and that's kind of, it's good, but to bring back Star Trek, it kind of raises issues.
Yeah, but this is the thing. Ultimately, it comes down to, can they use the Enterprise? Can
this
they use?
Matter.
Well, no, it's a massive thing.
If they're doing the original Star Wars, sorry.
The internet just turned against you.
Sorry. Is the internet this room?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, that was 3/4 of the internet.
See, internet is 3 syllables. Internet.
Yeah, thank you for that flawless logic, Rob. That is...
You're in, by the way, Owen.
Yay, I'm in.
You're ter.
Yeah.
And Andrew.
I'm the net.
Yes.
The net.
Because you catch everything.
I think...
You've not seen me be goalkeeper then.
Okay, so you can be in, you can be net. I'm still going to be ter, because I am Switzerland. I sit in the middle.
Wow. I definitely think if they did want to try and bring back Star Trek as a series, they should have just finished Enterprise.
Yeah, that was out of their hand.
Well, to be honest, I think Enterprise ended at a good point.
Well,
with the end of the Zindi conflict, it ended at a good point.
You could have had the start of the Romulan conflict.
Yeah, you could have. And
it was getting a bit political. I think if any reason why Enterprise ended, I think it was the politics.
I actually think that that was a good point, though.
Oh, it was.
I think the politics was a...
I don't think people watch mad space operas for... like politics of land trade deals, the one
really
pew pew and stuff. I don't know.
That's William Shatner flailing at a man in a dinosaur costume.
No. If that's the case, then that it does explain what happened with Andromeda.
What's
halfway through series 3 when they lost,
the one with Hercules?
Yeah, halfway through series 3. When they changed writers and all of a sudden everything went squiffy and everybody is suddenly, there's suddenly cosmic cubes. Where the hell did they get tesseracts and stuff like that from?
Yeah, things kind of went really weird at some point.
Oh, no. Then they had the Route of Ages, which had Kevin Sorbo going through a tunnel, meeting Kevin Sorbo going the other way through
the
tunnel.
That was really weird.
And then I was just like, the sun is actually a person who's not a person, who is a person, who's actually a sun, and then there's a black hole that is also a person, but isn't a person, but has a black hole, who is a black hole, who isn't a black hole.
I just feared that.
But who's actually
there.
Pretending to be a sun?
But who was Phone?
We don't know.
That was really confusing.
All we know was that, what's his face, who played, all we know is that Tyrannosarsi was a magnificent character, and they shouldn't have killed him off. They shouldn't have turned him into a bad guy. They should have kept him as, you know, just kind of this anti-hero type character all the way through. Him, best line was, the best line they ever had in Andromeda was, you know, when the universe eventually withers and dies, there's only going to be 3 things left. Tyr Anasazi, the cockroaches, and Dylan Hunt trying to save the cockroaches.
I'm sure that makes sense.
Dylan Hunt is Kevin Sorbo's character, and he's trying to save the universe.
Yeah,
He's forever trying to save everybody. That's the running gag by the end.
He's Hercules.
Yeah, it's true.
Did he have his little friend from Hercules, who was like a joiner or something, and he just had his shirt off for no reason whatsoever?
No, but they did put in the wig and the sword from Hercules.
Ah. Did it have the line, disappointed from Hercules?
No, but they did have the wig and the sword, and he hid them in amongst with the rest.
I'm just thinking how to try and work that line in.
The disappointed.
They probably did work that line in somewhere. We need more emotion, Kevin.
He surely never lived that down as an actor. He surely can't have lived that down at all.
What, you
don't know the story? The famous story, how there was a line of dialogue in Hercules, which they've got the parentheses above the line, which tells you how to deliver it, what emotion to deliver. And instead of thinking, oh, I'll deliver that line with a disappointed tone of my voice, he read it as an actual line. So, I'm disappointed.
I think I remember that. I think definitely for me, one of the most memorable things of Andromeda was Daniel Jackson and Teal'c fighting it out and Daniel Jackson winning.
What?
There was an episode
Yes. That was Andromeda. Oh, Daniel Jackson and Teal'c eventually became ships. They got shipped.
You mean ships as in I'm going out to sea? Rob, do you mean ships as in I'm going out to sea and as I need a means of conveyance?
No, they actually became ships.
Yeah, they actually became spaceships.
Yeah.
They got shipped.
Ah, right. I'm confused. I think we better move on.
You sure? Hey, I know. Let's move on to a completely different but equally confusing science fiction franchise that is also maybe getting a reboot.
Yes, Battlestar Galactica.
What?
Yeah, Battlestar Galactica.
Why?
Well, that's...
Just before we get into it, this series was hated, wasn't it, by a lot of sci-fi traditionalists?
Well, I think the finale was for being confusing and a load of junk.
What, Galactica?
Yes. Yeah, Galactica.
Yeah, I can kind of see that.
The finale was just basically, it was, to use your words, Rob, utter bobbins.
No. There's a level above utter bobbins. There's shonky guff as well.
Oh, yeah. No, it was shonky guff.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going to have to put these on a T-shirt, you know, just so we know. I thought we'll make a poster and put it on the wall.
Utter bobbins is mild rubbish. Shonky guff is utter rubbish. And I might have to invent a new level below Shonky Guff for the worst.
Wow. So, yeah, Battlestar Galactica film reboot.
A film reboot?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, obviously because these sci-fi film reboots have been getting a lot of traction. Star Trek kind of starting off, then going on to Star Wars. Stargate seems to be getting some traction, so Galactica... There was talks about it back in 2014, but then kind of just silence. So it kind of made me feel like maybe the 12 colonies have finally been completely annihilated. But no, now it seems that it's gaining some traction.
I agree.
Please, sir, please don't let them do a film reboot of the sequel to the 70s Battlestar Galactica. Please don't let that happen again. One time was enough.
You're going to have to explain that, Rob.
No, I don't want to explain. I don't want to remember the horror. Owen, you explain.
Right, I don't know, but I will say this. It seems
you don't know? His skin is still pale and innocent.
I know they tried to do some kind of film reboot.
Yeah, he doesn't have the hard calluses that came because of the sequel to Battlestar Galactica, the 70s, 80s version.
I just remember Muffet the Dog, which was actually a chimpanzee in costume.
Yes, I know.
That's beautiful.
No. The Battlestar Galactica, this is no word of a lie, right? Because this is going to sound like I'm just speaking words and in a weird voice, right?
Okay.
No word of a lie. The sequel to Battlestar Galactica had Starbuck and Apollo on Earth with a bunch of kids from the Battlestar Galactica. And the kids suddenly had these abilities because the gravity was different, so they could jump higher and run faster and do things like that.
Is this John Carter?
No. This is basically Battlestar Galactica still. They had bikes. It would look like they were outtakes from Chips. You know, motorbike cops. They had bikes that could go faster than normal bikes, but then could fly. And I'm like, hang on. Where did these bikes come from? And why weren't they there for the entirety of Battlestar Galactica?
Rob, I think you're having a stroke.
I'm not.
You know what, Rob? I don't think you were drunk enough to watch it last time.
I was a kid.
You weren't drunk enough.
It scarred me for life.
If you were really, really, really drunk, I think it'd be hilarious.
Trust me, look this up. The sequel to Battlestar Galactica. I can't remember what it was called, thankfully. Mm. But there is a sequel to the original Battlestar Galactica, and it has flying bikes.
Wow. So, yeah, apparently this reboot, this looks like it will be based on the original series.
Oh, so not the 2000s-y one.
No, but it will have. They will try and bring some of the grittiness from that into this.
Are they going to bring back the bit where they act like there's going to be a massive fight and they keep teasing you with it and then the episode ends like literally just before the fight?
That'd be
scream in anger and throw my remote through the television.
That'd be a terrible movie.
Rob, was it called Razor or The Plan?
No, neither of those.
Neither of them, no.
We're talking original Battlestar Galactica.
Really?
Original Battlestar Galactica.
Are they part of the...
They're part of the new Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, Galactica 1980. Okay.
That's right, yes.
Oh, it's only 10 episodes, apparently.
What was it called?
No, I mean 10 episodes of The Thing. That's what I mean. I can't find it.
No, there was only one episode of The Thing, Rob, because it's a film.
I don't know. The internet's confusing me. Isn't this the one with Tweaky in? I like Tweaky.
Tweaky was Buck Rogers.
That was the best science fiction ever.
But I think you might be talking about...
Reboot Buck Rogers.
I might be talking about...
like you said, Battlestar Galactica 1980.
Galactica 1980?
Yeah.
I'm sure it was called something else.
Yeah, it's hard to find it. Internet, you're not helping us.
Basically, there's like 98 different Battlestar Galactica series.
Yeah, I know. This is the one where Apollo and Starbuck are on Earth.
If you're going to call him Starbuck, because it keeps me making me think of Buck Rogers.
Yeah,
I love Buck Rogers.
It makes me think of coffee.
I love Buck Rogers. It was one of my highlights of my childhood. Sports had nothing on Buck Rogers.
That one sentence explains your entire position here today, Rob.
It does. Yeah, I am the designated driver after all, so... Oh, well.
It might be Conquest of the Earth.
That sounds more like something from Planet of the Apes.
Apparently, Galactic films are Battlestar Galactica pilot.
It's not a film. It's a TV series.
There must be 1980.
Is it Galactica?
Yeah,
there's
like 10 episodes of it.
Right, okay.
Battlestar 1980. Yeah.
So you had no idea of the pain you were walking into there, Rob. You thought it was just one movie.
No, I knew it was a TV series. I did say that.
Oh, right. I thought you said it was one movie. Actually, I should listen to you more often.
Yes,
we all
should.
Now, apparently.
See, I wasn't just speaking words.
Okay, so now we established that the thing Rob was talking about was the thing that Rob said was definitely not the thing he was talking about.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that it's not that.
But it might actually be. It looks like it is. So, yeah, Galactica Reboot.
It's happening again.
Someone ring the care home. But yeah, Galactica Reboot, that's the thing.
I think everyone's going to need a care home if it is exactly that.
Thankfully, the fact that they're rebooting the original 78 series, so...
Let's put it this way.
Here's a paragraph from it. The fates of several characters from the original series are explained during the Castle series. Apollo is apparently dead, the cause of his seeming death not addressed. Starbuck was marooned on a desert planet, although the script for the episode The Wheel of Fire... indicated that Starbuck was eventually rescued from the planet by inhabitants of the Ship of Light and became one of their inhabitants. Captain Troy is revealed to be Boxy, and Lieutenant Boomer has risen to the rank of Colonel. Is all any of this?
No.
So it's not this?
Damn it, Rob.
No, it's not that
one. Supposed to wait till after the show to get into the party time powder.
So there's nothing about flying bites?
No.
Okay.
No, I think Rob was just like smoking a lot of crackers.
I'm sure that... can I... Give. I'm determined to solve this puzzle.
So you do that, and we'll move on, I think.
You guys move on.
Yes, let's fly away in our magical ship of light.
How do I use this brick?
Ah, oh, Rob. We can't take you anywhere. No, granddad. That's not what you use those plant bowls for.
So, yeah, Galactica Reboot happening. I don't know how many times I said that. Well, apparently happening...
Yeah, it's Galactica 1980, the TV series.
Yeah, research powers have not failed.
Just memory.
Yeah, just memory, because he's a granddad now. So next news story.
Yes, let us run away to this one. And it is about the Preacher TV series. And they have cast one of the villains, Odin Quinn Cannon, and it's going to be Jackie Earle Haley.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
So, hell's the yeah.
People who don't know Jackie Earle Haley, he was Rorschach in The Watchmen.
The absolutely perfect Rorschach.
No, this is he's perfectly cast here as well, I reckon.
I hope it works well for him, because he's one of these actors that's just never had that break. He's brilliant. Brilliant actor, but he's never had that one shot to be.
Yeah, I think hopefully this should be his big thing.
If they do Preacher the way I hope they do Preacher, then this is going to be his vehicle. And who was it they got playing Jesse Custer again?
Dominic Cooper.
Yeah, he's gonna be a star.
Oh, really? Yeah. Dominic Cooper, yeah. That Dominic Cooper.
Yes. Yeah, that Dominic Cooper.
He's gonna be a megastar after this because Preacher
Dominic Cooper already is, Rob.
Yeah.
No, he's gonna be bigger than he's ever been because Preacher has a lot of fans, yeah. A hell of a lot of fans.
I don't know the other people. Joe Gilgun. He's from Emmerdale. Apparently, he's playing Cassidy. I don't know who that is.
Yes. He is a vampire.
Cassidy is a vampire.
And. Yeah, the character's playing Sheriff Hugo Root, apparently, who we're mentioning here. Does that mean anything to
no, comic book? The thing that we need to know, the thing that we must know, and you don't need to believe this because this is actually his name, right?
Yeah.
We need to know who's playing Arseface.
I don't think they've announced that yet. Oh, I'd love to see the press release. Oh, no, they have. They have cast
that. No, they have because we've seen set pictures of him, like, in the Arseface makeup.
I don't know what he's... who he is. I mean,
I'm not surprised, given the way he looks.
The actor's called Ian Colletti.
Oh, I'm sure it would be a politician.
I don't know who that is, but yeah, they've cast Arseface. Arseface has been cast. I assure you Arseface has been cast. Not swearing, his name.
No, we're not. It's his name. It's like when we were talking about Bastard Trenches.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that's just somebody really dissatisfied with the development of how their trench is going.
Yes.
Rather than an actual name for it.
But this is the thing. It is an actual type of trench.
Yeah, we're not getting on that. You've had your moments. That shows us his moment. But yeah, this is... Given the cast they've got for it, I think it can only be good, this.
Yeah.
Dominic Cooper is, like, a star.
Look, Preacher's an amazing story, as it is.
Ruth Negga, I don't know who she is.
Warren Ellis, isn't it?
No,
Garth Ennis. No,
yeah, Garth Ennis, that's...
I keep getting confused because the Ennis and Ellis...
Yeah, maybe one day they will just fuse together to become Warren Ennis.
No, right. Warren. It'll be Warith Elvis.
It's not far off either. Apparently, it's scheduled to premiere mid this year.
Yes. So. And I am looking forward to Preacher because Preacher is amazing. And it has the saint of all killers.
Didn't they do. I know it's not really all.
That was a happy song.
Yes, the saint of all killers is badass.
It's not really all that familiar. Similar, but it had like a show a few years ago which. Treaded similar ground, kind of, with Constantine?
Constantine does not tread any similar ground to Preacher.
Well, from the outside in.
No, okay. Basic storyline to Preacher is that God wants to have the ultimate form of worship. And God comes up with a plan. Make an angel and a demon fall in love with each other, have a child. That child will be more powerful than God, and if that child loves God, then God has effectively achieved the ultimate state of worship. Right?
Ooh,
only problem is that soul of half demon, half angel resides now in Jesse Custer. And Jesse Custer has the word of God. Anything that he says in a certain way, people will do. He can make these things happen because he has the word of God.
Absolutely, literally.
So yes. Kind of like that character from recent Marvel series.
Yeah. Thing is,
I like the Purple Man.
Yeah. His family raised him to be a preacher. Yeah, and had control of that particular area because of his abilities. But he's left them, and they're after him. Huh. He's trying to find God to make God answer for his life, effectively. And God is scared of him, so God has basically run away from heaven and is somewhere on earth.
This series
has the Saint of All Killers, who is a cowboy who has guns that can kill anything.
So you're putting this out?
Yes.
Aren't there who did The Walking Dead?
Yes.
Do you think they have the budget to do something that big?
Yes.
I don't know.
They've made a fortune from Walking Dead.
Yeah, that's sweet Walking Dead money.
Ah, no, but this sounds like it's a big risk.
No, this is not a big risk.
Yeah,
not by a long way. Walking Dead was... they've made a fortune from Walking Dead. You'd be amazed at how much money AMC have made from that.
Literally every
single thing. Every single toy, every single poster, every single ringtone, every single writing journal, everything. All of it. Every poster, every cap, every T-shirt. Part of that money goes to AMC.
That's true. A lot of merchandise was released.
I had no idea. I just totally phased out.
There's still loads of Walking Dead merchandise coming out.
Oh, yeah.
What makes you think this will be a success, though?
Because Preacher is one of those series that fans for years have been wanting to see a live-action version of, and it's one that is easy to do a live-action version of.
Yeah, because, like, despite all of what Rob said, the series itself
It's very grounded.
Yeah, yeah. It's not that special effects intensive.
Exactly. Oh, it's a bit okay. like Lucifer. Lucifer's not really special effects intensive. You know, for a lot of it, there's some special effects at times, angels' wings, red eyes, that sort of thing. But for the most part, Lucifer is very grounded.
It's a good time. It apparently is a black comedy and horror and drama.
What, Lucifer?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently so.
Yeah, and so is Preacher. So I think there's definitely kind of an audience for it now.
Preacher does have violence and it has a lot of sex.
Yeah, that's normal for modern TV, though.
No, no, it's normal for Garth Ennis.
No, no, I mean, that might be so, but with the onset of cable, that's become like, nobody cares about that anymore.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about extreme violence and sex in their TV. It's not the 1990s anymore, Rob.
Just throwing it out there.
Where everybody wore Jacobean ruffs. I want a Jacobean ruff.
Yes, we know. I'm not going to make that joke about Derek Jacobi.
Oh, no. Derek Jacobi's lovely.
He would not give you a Jacobean ruff.
I don't know if he asks politely. He does. He appreciates manners.
Anyway.
So that's the news.
quite
destroyed as normal.
quite the extended news section.
Yeah, I think that got destroyed. Pretty much how we normally do it.
Like that was usually...
Well, we're going to take a quick break and then we will emerge from the burning wreckage of this news section into what we've been watching.
Hello, and I'm Lewis from Keyframe, the Geek Show's coolest and most composed anime podcast. Just like an anime protagonist. No, we're crazy as heck, but watch us anyway. You'll like it. Trust me. That first bit was a lie.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to On The Box, the Geek Show's dedicated television podcast, as much of an oxymoron as that is. So now we're on to what have we been watching. So, guys, what have you been watching?
Well, I've been watching Master of None. See how you maybe have to change the vowel sound so it doesn't sound like nuns.
I would watch Master of Nuns, I can't lie.
I don't, because... not making that joke.
But Master of None, anyway. Yeah. None.
That's a different section of the web altogether.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, it is a Netflix original series starring Aziz Ansari from Parks and Recreation.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's his new comedy series, and it is not what I was expecting at all. Hmm. So I was thinking it was going to be some kind of wacky goofball. I'll look at him doing fun, wacky stuff. But it's actually really grounded. It's basically, he plays Dev, who is a 30-something Indian-American, and it's kind of just him dealing with the fact that he's getting to this point in his life where he's to start thinking about like maybe settling down, starting a family.
Okay.
So like in the first episode that I watched, he kind of meets some of his friends who have settled down and had kids, and that kind of makes him start thinking about whether or not he wants children. It's like it's actually like pretty deep.
It's a good time for comedians, really. A lot of them have made the leap onto TV and... did a show about their own life. To varying success.
Yeah, yeah, that's of almost a bit autobiographical, but like a more comedic version of their lives.
Yeah, I mean, this sounds like a much more fruitful thing, because with him being an Indian-American, that's obviously not a common thing.
Yeah, yeah, obviously, you know, racism is going to be something to do. And I say this like it's some grounded drama. It is also very, very funny. Like, there's one bit just with him in a kid's toy shop trying to find a gift for his friend's child's birthday party.
Okay.
He's basically talking to his friend, you know, basically doing the whole, look at this kid's shop. Like, how are children even amused by things like that? And then picks up, like, a toy dinosaur that makes noise. And that's pretty much just 30 seconds of him, like, shaking the dinosaur. And goes,
oh, that's good.
But we'd all do that.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of Aziz Ansari. He's a bit shouty. So, is he okay?
Yeah. Like, he definitely tones it down a lot. Because it is, you know, it's very more, I'd say, almost sort of deadpan-ish.
Oh, okay.
But it's like he's definitely not full-on running around shouting and screaming, which is what I was expecting. And I was pleasantly surprised.
Sounds intriguing.
Yeah, I would definitely highly recommend it.
Fantastic.
Netflix really are knocking out of the park recently, aren't they?
It's coming out with hit after hit.
What was that one I was talking about earlier on?
I'm not sure.
It was one I was talking to you about, Netflix and DreamWorks. Netflix and DreamWorks are combining on a new Voltron series.
Yes, I think we mentioned that. We at least saw it a while ago, didn't we?
I'm not sure we saw it a while ago, but they've actually teased an image for it.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's really odd how the best TV right now is largely coming from Netflix.
Yeah.
It's a little fly-by-night video rental company which just morphed into something new and something new and something new. Now it's an actual TV channel and like a movie distributor. It's crazy.
Serious competitors, some of the hardline kind of production companies.
It's basically an online Blockbusters. That's what it started
off
as.
It's starting to take a hit on the anime front because of Funimation's streaming service. But
I think with the Disney...
Because they've got all sorts of other stuff.
It's the original content. That's what's marking Netflix out.
That's weird. Netflix have kind of gone from like being this just simple streaming service to adding on a bunch of different parts, like some sort of giant robot composed of different parts. I don't know what you would call that.
Or a chimera.
Well, I would say the joke was that it's Voltron.
All right.
Like Voltron.
Or
a Megazord.
Or a tasty.
Yes, like a Megazord.
Or a tasty cake with lots of type of chocolate on.
A what?
A big tasty cake with all types of chocolate. There you go.
This Netflix is diabetes.
Yes, exactly.
Essentially, I think even when it loses all its Disney content, when Disney brings their online, so it's not going to hurt Netflix.
It won't
hurt
Netflix too much.
Netflix are too big to be. Yeah. Hurt by much these days.
In a few years, it's going to develop awareness, self-awareness, and...
It's not Skynet. I think we'd be fine if that was Skynet, though, to be honest.
No, if it was called Sky Netflix, then I'd be worried.
If Sky ever did their own sort of online movies distribution channel...
No, because you know what Skynet's going to look like. It's not going to look like Matt Smith.
No, it's not. But that's movie talk. That sounds interesting there. Yep. Really should take the plunge on Netflix.
Oh, you should. It's
worth it.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
We are in no way sponsored by Netflix, Netflix.
But if they want to give us money.
If they want to, we won't say no.
We're happy. We're happy to take your Netflix money.
We'll review
everything. Can you imagine if they actually had Netflix money, where it was just like a little note?
But who would be on it?
Hey?
It would be on it.
Just a picture of like you maybe going...
No, what have I got to do with Netflix?
If they decide to send us their own Netflix money, we're like, oh, do you want your picture on it?
I go, no, I want money I can spend, you stupid company.
You can spend it on Netflix.
Oh, thank you, old wise Netflix.
It's like the dollar. You can only spend the dollar in America.
No, it's worse. It's like the gift card. You can only spend it in the shop it's supposed to be.
Yes. Yeah, more appropriate.
The worst present ever. Oh, I can spend 20 quid in...
We laugh now, but in a couple of years' time, when we're all going to the Netflix department store to buy our goods.
Yes.
How many episodes is Master of None anyway?
It's only like 10 episodes, so...
Oh, that's the thing I like about Netflix as well. I mean, when you get American series, what, like 24, 25, 26 sort of episodes?
Yeah, it's nice to just have them in shorter chunks.
Yeah.
They know the market.
Yeah, they do. I mean, it's designed for binge watching, but they don't let you overeat with it. Which is the nice thing.
Do they still do that thing where they release it all in one bulk, or is it sort of week? I don't know what the
word
is.
Some shows they do.
Yeah, I think it depends on the show.
I prefer the concept of a weekly, because if you get it all in one shot, then that's it, that's your lot.
And the motivation to watch it, unless you binge, the motivation to watch it is very hard to muster up for that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I would prefer if they did it week by week, but I kind of understand being an online service and why they do it as...
Yeah.
Just in one shot.
Sounds good though, Master of None. Yeah.
What has everyone else been watching?
Do you want to go first, or do you want me to?
I'll go.
Okay.
I'll go. Right. I've been told constantly that I need to try and step out of my comfort zone. So I took not so much a step, more of a bit of a leap. I've been watching Call the Midwife.
That is a bit of a leap.
Yeah, that is a tumble. That is a plunge.
You've
gone spelunking into the abyss.
I kind of fell down
the
stairs.
Hang on. Are these actual midwife jokes or something?
I kind of felt...
Took you long enough.
I kind of fell down the stairs with that one.
That is the best pun, though. Spelunking into the abyss. That is beautiful.
That is brilliant. It's actually a really good program. So it's a pretty good. It's set sort of the west. I think it's the East End of London in the late 50s, early 60s.
Yeah.
Originally starred Jessica Rain and Helen George.
Miranda Hart still in it?
No, she used to be in it. It was actually quite good to see. Seen her in a comedy sketch show, comedy sitcom, and kind of doing this is quite a serious.
I didn't like her comedy stuff.
No.
It felt a bit too... felt like it was trying too hard to be
funny. Big and weird looking, watch me fall over.
I'm big and weird looking, a little bit dopey.
Yeah.
I never watched enough to get that far.
Ah.
it's actually really good because it brings in so many different concepts. It's quite sort of educational as well because you're kind of seeing what standards were back then. So, like, things like the NHS, medical standards, and, of course, how women were treated back then as well. Like, if you were found to be pregnant, you weren't married, you know, you were basically fired from your job, kicked out of your house.
To the workhouse, then, or to the poor house, or whatever it is.
I think they kind of phased them out by that time, so they didn't quite have them, but there were some form of support.
So this is 1950s, 60s, you say?
Late 50s, early 60s.
Late 50s, early 60s.
Now they're in 1961 with their fifth series.
Okay, so with these series, are they going year by year, then?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Yep.
So they're not doing a Beatles... Not Beetlejuice, that's what I'm talking about. What's that one set in the Yorkshire in the 60s?
In the Yorkshire?
Heartbeat.
Heartbeat, yeah. Where it was like...
I was going to say, well,
like,
well, I can see how you could... Beetlejuice.
Yeah, beating it.
Yes, I can certainly see how Rob would get that confused with Beetlejuice.
No, he didn't say...
Where is my Beetlejuice? We said it three times. He's supposed to appear. I'm disappointed. Yeah,
he didn't say that. He said Beetlejuice. I had a different mental image.
Oh, God. Oh, no. But my point is, with a Heartbeat, it was set
that's
in...
the Ringo.
I think it was about, 15 seasons, and all of it was in the 60s.
Mm.
So it was in, like, this state of arrested development. It never actually developed. It was nothing to do with any Beetlejuice.
Wasn't Nick Berry in Heartbeat?
Yeah, he was.
After he left EastEnders?
I don't know about EastEnders.
Yeah, because he was in EastEnders originally, and then he moved across to Heartbeat, and he sang the theme tune, if I remember rightly.
Are you thinking of Dennis Waterman and New Tricks?
No. It was, I'm sure Nick Berry sang the theme tune to Heartbeat.
But anyway, yes. Midwives.
Yes.
Midwifery.
Yep. It's actually really interesting, because you also see how, like, kind of nuns were also kind of heavily involved in, like, midwifery as well.
Did they have a master?
Yeah, that's just what I
Yes.
Master was his name Dev? Is Dev's surname Pool? I've got to ask.
I don't know, but I'm going to assume it is.
Because then he can be Dev Pool.
Oh, dear. Now, do you remember when we were having a competition, like, which actress had the most middle-class names?
Yes.
It was Honeysuckle Weeks versus Tuppence Middleton. Well, there's an actress in this, I'm not kidding, called Emerald Fennell.
Oh,
what?
Oh, damn. That is a new contender into the ring.
Isn't it just... I get calling your daughter Ruby, but Emerald, it's just...
See, I could
just
never...
The fact that the last name is also literally Fennell.
Yes.
This sounds like a lot of people who found the Engelbert Humperdinck name generator.
Yes.
It is a name generator.
Engelbert Doodly Pop.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know the show, like, as the vehicle that kind of launched Jessica Rain, but now she's kind of not doing as well as I'd expected. I mean, last thing I saw her doing was that thing with David Walliams. Where kind of
I'm worried where
couple.
This is going.
They were kind of a detective couple.
Really? I'm still worried where this
can't
is going.
I call that, no.
Oh,
no.
Was it the Agatha Christie thing?
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Oh, Partners in Crime, that's what I was
asking. Oh, yes. Right, okay.
But she was also in... not Homefront, the one set in Alaska.
Oh, do you mean the Sky Atlantic thing?
Yeah.
I just mush it with all the other Sky Atlantic things that look really good, but I can't watch because I don't have Sky Atlantic.
Yes.
And then I throw a hissy fit about.
Well, you know who to punch. It's not me.
Rupert Murdoch.
Yes.
But then he might sick Sky Netflix on me.
But no, because you know who the face of Skynet is going to be.
Who?
Just some old guy. Called Rupert Murdoch. He's going to look at you and say, you work for me now. Me and Jerry Hall.
That is terrifying.
He got a slightly robot-sized voice.
He does, but that's only because of Jerry Hall. Okay. I shouldn't say that, should I?
Next up, then.
Yeah, I'll just want to quickly say, if you're looking for something quite good, enjoyable, and something that really tests your limits, in terms of if you're quite adamant at what you like and want to take a massive step out, yeah, call The Midwife.
Cool.
Okay, I can jump in next.
You leave me to last.
Yeah, you turned up last, so you can be last.
Okay,
I think that's only fair.
He's like that evil teacher's like, well, you were last. You came back last. You get to go last.
You can tidy up the chairs and everything. You put them on top of the table when you're finished.
No, I refuse. You can't make me. You're not my master.
Because you're not a nun.
Exactly.
I've been watching Cold Case quite a bit. It's one of these police procedurals. It goes back to 2000, I think. I just double-checked the...
When you say quite a bit, I think we need some clarification on how many times a day have you been watching Culture?
It's one of these programs that the show on pick every morning. And I have been catching it before I leave the house. The setup, as the title suggests, it's about cold cases. It's about a police department in Philadelphia who go through old cases and solve them, basically.
Wouldn't it make more sense if it was set in Alaska, then?
Yes.
It would. You have no idea how much it would.
I don't know, Philadelphia's quite chilly.
It's a police procedure. It's been done by Jerry Bruckheimer, so it has that slick about it. I mean, Jerry Bruckheimer's also done CSI, I believe.
I think that's his.
Law and Order, Jerry Bruckheimer?
No, that's Dick Wolf's.
Was that Dick Wolf?
Not swearing, it's his name.
I know.
Best name ever, though.
Yes.
But, I mean, it's fine. It's a police procedural. They all work with the same sort of mechanical structure and form. But the problem with this is, it's just how incredibly stupid it is. I mean, this is like one of the most stupid TV shows I may have ever seen.
And yet you catch it every morning.
Well, it's always on, isn't it? Yeah. The remote's all the way over there. There's two reasons for this, why its stupidity reaches like an idea which I never knew existed. One is, you know what court cases are? I'm assuming everybody around the table knows what court cases are. The whole idea of a court case is it's a crime, in this case a murder, where the trail's gone cold.
Yeah.
Not in court case, it's not. In court case, they're stretched the very limits of how far back you can investigate a crime from. In one particular episode, this was shot in the early noughties, they actually solve a crime that happened during World War II.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I also saw an episode where they actually solved one that was just before the Second World War as well.
Yeah, it's ludicrous. I mean, the whole point of court cases is you can't solve it. It's trail has gone cold. People might have moved away, people might have died. I mean, the fact that everything... I mean, if this show be immeasurably better if they failed to solve some things because, you know, say, cold case, cold trail, gone.
It just got to a point where there's only one person who can tell them the answer and they died like 2 years ago.
That'd be a nice sort of resolution, but that's not the only thing that's wrong with it. It does this really, it's one of my pet peeves actually. You know, when you're trying to make something like, oh, this is the 60s, this is the 70s, this is the 80s or whatever, they do that with the most blunt hammer imaginable. They'll take like the most broad pop song from that, and even if it's at a place where it couldn't possibly be playing any music because it's like in the middle of the field or something, or, you know, outside the house or wherever you want to be, it'll still have this broad pop music from the time. So it's like the director saying, you know what time it's from? It's from this time because the music's telling you it's from this time, stupid. You're paying attention, stupid. Oh, look at that music. Ooh, drama.
So... walking through a cornfield while the Beach Boys are playing.
Yes. Yeah, that's 100% right. And that's just aggravating. I mean, it's fine. It's well performed. It's got good cast for what it's worth. But it's just those two critical, stupid flaws. I mean, it was cancelled in 2010 after 156 episodes of this.
Yeah.
I have no idea. The patience of American viewers is massive. But then again, their vision of policemen is a bit different from ours, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where if this was like an English show, I think there has been English shows about cold cases, actually.
There was New Tricks, wasn't there?
Well, there wasn't just New Tricks. There was another one where it was, I've forgotten the name, where they were actually autopsying the old bodies as well. They exhumed them.
I can't remember that one.
I just said New Tricks, that's the one I remember.
Yeah, New Tricks was one of them.
But in New Tricks, they don't solve every crime, do they?
No.
Exactly.
No. I don't think they solved every crime in Caucus. I think I remember one or two where they just couldn't...
156 episodes where you're talking a handful. That's not good enough, frankly, let's be fair.
And that's like saying... I mean, that's a very high batting average to use the American terminology.
Yeah,
even if it's not a court case, just general police procedurals in America, solve everything. Everything. Just no. No for me.
Bring back Horatio Caine, that's all I've got to say. Horatio Caine.
No.
The only person who I can forgive for solving everything is Columbo, because I chuffing love Columbo.
No, Miss Marple.
No, Columbo.
No, Miss Marple was Columbo. Lovely.
Oh, we're going to have
Miss Marple was lovely.
I think
lovely.
We found the name of the show. Columbo versus Marple. Columbo was the best.
No, Miss Marple was... No, I'm not disagreeing that Columbo
was awesome. Peter Falk's amazing.
I am not disagreeing with that. I'm just saying that Miss Marple was also as good. You need one male, one female. It's all about equality these days,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Imagine that. Oh,
and
imagine
on
that
the female side, who beats Miss Marple?
Speaking of all these old
she's
ones.
She's a little old lady. She makes you crumpets and
Jessica
tea.
Fletcher, obvious.
No.
Jessica Fletcher.
Jessica
I'm sure
Fletcher
Jessica
was
Fletcher
was
she is
death incarnate. Every yeah, time she turned up, someone died.
Yeah, she was. Do you think the cogs
would
have worked?
Wrote, yeah, she had a death knot.
Do you think the cogs ever went round thinking, hang on, everywhere I go, someone always dies?
No,
maybe
she
it's
had a,
me.
She had a death note, I'm sure of it.
She just scribbling people's
Fletcher
names.
Had a death note.
Actually, I did see someone at some point like write a proposed final episode of Murder, She Wrote, where she wrote that like Jessica Fletcher has actually murdered everyone in every single episode.
Yes, she's the most successful and most prolific serial killer in American
yeah,
history.
Yeah, like she's just been killing people so that she can have murders to base her crime novels on.
Dexter's got nothing on her.
And people don't suspect her because
she's English and she's an old lady.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, because the English are never bad guys.
No, we're not. We're the best
no.
bad guys.
No. The women are never bad guys. The men are always bad guys.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's Cold Case. That's me done. Who's next?
Okay,
that's
me then.
That's Neve's the naughty child last. To put the tables and start the chairs out.
Yeah, but I've also watched something that's just... It's just TV magic for no reason at all. Grand Designs.
A bit behind the curve with that, aren't you?
Not really.
Is it a new series?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
But the old one's just as good.
Mm. Is it still Kevin MacLeod?
Yes, still Kevin MacLeod. Thing is, he's so affable and so, you know, so charming, and he's just got this...
I wish he'd read me nighttime stories.
That's like exactly it. Yeah. Can you imagine? I mean, Kevin MacLeod should be doing audiobooks instead of Stephen Fry.
I'm happy with that. Yeah,
but he can't because he doesn't have spare time in between doing Grand Designs and hunting down all the other Highlanders.
I don't want to do segues, but he was on like an episode of Top Gear.
Yes,
should have had him.
Yes.
Just him on his own as a presenter for Top Gear.
He would have been great. Actually, can you imagine? I mean, just him sitting in the instead of Chris Evans or whoever else.
And he should have shot it in like his front room with like a roaring fire and just reading from
yes,
his...
Yes, in a nice, big, comfortable chair.
Yeah.
Yes, with his pipe.
That would have been amazing.
Let's just talk about the new Ford Focus.
Yes.
Laptop gear.
Well, can you imagine how many Hollywood stars would just appear on there so they could wear their smoking jacket and have their pipe?
They'd fall in love with them, though.
They would fall in love with them, but they want photos taken of just the entire set.
But anyway, Grand Designs.
Now, Grand Designs, I absolutely adore Grand Designs because in the first instance, you have these people who want to build their own home. And here in a country where we do have a housing shortage, okay, these people are spending $400,000, $500,000, whatever they're spending on their homes. But then you have the other side of it, where you have people who are building their homes themselves, and they're only spending about $100,000 on it. But they end up with a magnificent place, but they've basically worked to the bone to build it.
Well,
and these are the kind of people who really deserve to have the spotlight on them
about
what they're doing.
About the $400,000 and $500,000 ones when they do it in London.
Yeah.
It's just a sad state of affairs when it's cheaper to actually literally build your own home brick by brick than buy something.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
I love those stories in Grand Design when they do that. Where they think, I'm not going in a housing market. Why would I do it? I'm building my own thing.
Yeah, they buy a plot of land or a derelict building, knock it down, and then just build their own thing.
Like one of my favourites is where they turned like a toilet, like a disused toilet, in like the middle of nowhere, into this really swish little building.
Well,
it's crazy.
There was the guy who it was him and his wife, and I think they were. They'd decided to move to France, and they were building their house in kind of the old style, you know, with the Watland Orb. And they got their friends to help out, but they basically built this really beautiful octagonal house. And it was just, the inside was really organic and really nice. The outside looked really picturesque. You know, it was very, very organic, and it cost them less than $100,000.
Really?
Yes.
You couldn't even buy a house here in the Northeast where it's like lower house prices for that.
And the thing is, it's the kind of house where you look at it and you go, I want to live there. Adopt me now.
Are you just watching stuff that you want, like you were last week?
No.
Like you want one of those sheds that folds out into the TARDIS or something?
Yes, I want that. Right, between George Clark and Kevin MacLeod, right, if the two of them are on the same show, that's it. There's the
event horizon there.
If there's an event horizon there, they're going to suck up all the goodness from TV if the two of them are ever on a show together.
It's like the dream team to build your own home.
Oh, God, yeah, because isn't George Clark also a Restoration Man?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
You know, which is another great show. But talking about grand designs here, Kevin McLeod knows his stuff, and he's passionate about architecture, and that is one of the key things about him being a presenter on Grand Designs.
How
his passion for architecture really comes through, and the way he explains things is also, you know, when you're at school and you have that favourite teacher who explains things in that way that you really like, that you really get. He's like that.
That's good.
He's not condescending.
No, he's not condescending. I mean, if Kevin McLeod was teaching architecture, I'd sign up for that course.
Oh, yeah. I think I would.
He never sugarcoat it, though, does he? I mean, no. If he thinks it's going to fail, he won't say, say, oh, this is going great. And
He'll ask them questions and say, what about your budget? What about this? What about this? And he'll actually put the people on the spot and they have to answer those questions. And he won't back away from it, but he also, you know, he also isn't afraid to get his hands dirty actually on site. When he's there, how many times in an episode of Grand Designs have you seen him, you know, laying bricks or with a wheelbarrow or something like that, just basically pitching in and helping out because he's there and he enjoys what he does?
How many years has Grand Designs been going so far?
Ah, God knows.
It's not long enough. It's just one of those shows where you can just put it on and sit through it the whole day because it's just like a warm hug for the brain.
No, seriously.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be one of those shows that's on for a long time, I think.
Yeah. And Designs is such a... They now have Grand Designs Australia as well, but the guy they've got doing Grand Designs Australia is nowhere near as affable as Kevin McLeod.
Well, he's all right.
He's all right, but Kevin McLeod is just like...
I mean, that's the sad thing. I mean, Grand Designs screams of a show you just export and make loads of money off, but...
You can.
It has to be Kevin McLeod. He has to do all of it.
You have to thing is, the guy who does the Australia one, he's not bad. Okay, he's just no Kevin McLeod. But just like MasterChef has an Australia show and Grand Design, you know, and now it's also got MasterChef USA and MasterChef South Africa and what God knows wherever else. Grand Designs is eminently exportable. And I reckon if they do it right and they get the right people hosting it, it's going to make Channel 4 a hell of a lot of money.
I'm surprised that hasn't already.
It's like Amazing Spaces. Amazing Spaces is a really, really good show.
Yeah.
And eminently exportable.
It's kind of like that BBC business plans, like make something that's good and you can export everywhere.
So, Grand Designs, if you haven't watched it, sit down and watch it. My nephew, he's 8 years old, right?
Oh, wow.
I got him watching George Clark's Amazing Spaces and he's just sitting there going, how the hell did they do that? Because to him, it's magic. I also got him watching Grand Designs, like, and he's like, Uncle, can I have a house like that when I grow up? I said...
It just shows you like the power of an enthusiastic horse, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It just totally sells that.
Exactly. That's and that's right. The thing. It's like, what's his face from Flog It, the one who looks like a spaniel? Or has the atmosphere of a spaniel who's just happy to see you and all the middle-aged
women. His first name is Paul. I've got that far.
Paul.
Well, one day we will learn his name.
Yeah, Paul, whatever his face is. All the middle-aged women absolutely adore him.
And some of the older women as well.
Oh, middle-aged and older, they, yes.
I've got to find this guy's name.
Oh, they
now.
Do like him. They do like him. Have you seen the twinkle in all the granny's eyes whenever he's on screen with them?
He's called Paul Martin.
Paul Martin, that's it. Whenever he's on screen with all the old ladies, there's a twinkle in those old eyes. Yeah, I'm done.
So I think on that old lady twinkle, we can end the show. That's it from us.
Yes, that's been our show.
If you want to get in contact, you can find us at studio@thegeekshow.co.uk. Nailed that. And you can find our shows all over the internet. We are on thegeekshow.co.uk. That is a special website that is ours. And that was a tautology, but I don't even care. And we are on Mixcloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. And of course, we are a voluntary organization, so we really do rely on the support of our listeners. And if you feel like helping us out, you can donate. There is a link on the right-hand side of our website. Or you can buy one of our many, many lovely items from the Geek Shop, which is also kind of in one of the tabs on our website. It's the one labelled Geek Shop. I'm being helpful. Anyway, that's it from us.
Helpful and not condescending.
Just like Kevin McLeod.
Yes.
So yeah, I've been Andrew.
I've been Owen.
I've been Rob.
And I've also been Rob.
No, you haven't. You've been George Hamilton as Zorro and also George Hamilton as Zorro.
Yes, I have.
Is that farewell now?
That is our farewell.
Yabba-dabba-doo.
We watched too many terrible 80s movies trailers. Bye, everyone. Thanks for listening.